Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Chasky, as I say, good morning to you, Spadoni, Lovin. The Warriors were leading points in the paint in the first half. In the first half, there were plus 7 in points in the paint. Points off turnovers. Points off turnovers, there were plus 7. 13-6. 13-6. Somehow, some way, they lost that category 27-16. I mean, this is unbelievable how they lost that game yesterday in the third quarter, getting outscored 37-20. And I'm deflated. I'm frustrated. It has more to do with the basketball game, of course, because we'll get into some other stuff that I just don't get. I just don't get what we're doing around these parts. But Warriors lose 123-117, and they're lighting the beam all night long in Sacramento.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So yesterday we were talking about in the 9 o'clock hour, like, hey, if the Warriors lose tomorrow, are you going to be angry? And some people were like, yeah, well, it depends on, you know, what it looks like. And other people were resigned to, like, I'm not angry. I'm frustrated we're in this position and where we're at. But I've also come to accept we're not a very good team. The Kings are a better team than the Warriors right now. They just are. And yesterday, another double digit lead at halftime. And you could just feel it. You just feel, no Warrior fan had to feel safe at halftime. You were thinking, what is going to happen? And in the third quarter, as well as the whole game, really, you could just see the difference of defensive intensity, length, athleticism, juice, the ability to get to the rim over and over and over. I mean, clearly De'Aaron Fox is extremely athletic, but it's not just him. Like Malik Monk breaking guys off the dribble, not necessarily going in for layups every time, but just breaking down the defense to kick the ball around and see the ball hopping. Look, I mean, that's a frustrating loss. I'm not here to like sugarcoat it. All right. To your point, we ain't giving out, you know, orange slices and fruit snacks. This is not the AYSO soccer team, you know, playing a 9U, all right, at South Sunset. There was some positives. I know it sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't sound crazy.
This is going to sound insane. There were some guys that I was like, okay, I'll start here. Guy Santos could play on my team. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's going to play. I don't think he's like some elite starter, but the guy has heart and he has game.
I like him. Look, the game's
Quinn
not.
Post can play.
The game's not too fast for Guy Santos. He can space the floor. He hustles. He plays his ass off. He talks that talk.
He can knock down a shot.
I told you, man, I got to know Guy Santos a little bit. I like the guy. I like the guy on and off the floor. He can play. I don't mind him getting minutes. The guy's going to, look, he's got to learn how to, you know, he's going to miss some shots. He's going to miss some assignments here and there, but the guy's playing his ass off
in the
game.
Effort's not a problem.
And effort's not a problem. Confidence is not a problem. And the game doesn't seem too big for him. Quentin Post, you just mentioned. The second round pick.
I got some
space in the floor. And a lot of people have been asking about Quentin Post. Well, having a stretch five, you can see the vision. You can see what he can do on the floor by bringing out the bigs here. And then defensively, I mean, he was an ACC all-defensive team member. He was second-team all-ACC at Boston College. He's 24 years old. He's from Amsterdam. He's Dutch. He had a chance to play overseas, but he decided to come over to America to play college basketball. So he starts off at Mississippi State, doesn't get a lot of playing time, transfers to Boston College. He's got some seasoning for being in college for so damn long. And you know what? He looked like he belonged yesterday. I was encouraged.
I was too. Look, and I sound so crazy right now, but like I'm being real. I actually felt a little more optimistic. Now, look, the big overarching theme when it comes to the Warriors, B, and it's almost undeniable. Just what direction are we going in? That's what we want to know from the organization. And I know the next 2 weeks are going to tell us in terms of the deadline. I get that. I get that. But God, I wanted it yesterday. Like I just pick a lane. Like when I watched Quentin Post yesterday. Do I think he's a starter who's impact? No. But alongside Kuminga, when you pull the five out of the key, Kuminga will have lanes to operate. When you have a stretch like that, here's the other thing. They were blitzing Curry at the top of the key from almost the beginning of the game. Double and triple teams with Curry. That made them late to get out of their sets. You know, Curry almost couldn't relocate in time because actually Guy and Quentin Post were making really savvy passes at the elbow and they were getting good looks from the 3-point line, but you weren't getting the relocation shots from Steph Curry.
Well, what the Warriors were doing was they were aggressive out of double P for the first time in a long time. So when Curry got blitzed, it got doubled and he was swing and you get to swing around. These guys are ready to shoot.
Yes.
They were ready to let it fly. So they were being aggressive out of the double T, but you know what really befuddled the Warriors and slowed them down in the third quarter. Again, they've got to figure out a way to navigate his own defense. They can't beat his own defense. The Sacramento Kings went zone for a big stretch in the third quarter, and the Warriors just didn't know what to do. They started turning the ball over, and that third quarter was the game. Because in the fourth quarter, sure, it was nip and tuck, and it was a game of runs. But you know what?
Who was the
that
lineup
third quarter,
that
third quarter,
frustrated you?
Well, it wasn't even just the lineup. It was the overall team. That frustrated. The lineup combinations is what it is. People go crazy over that.
I think part of beating a zone, I think this is important. Part of beating the zone is there's two ways. Elite passing and shooting, where you're skipping the ball back and forth and the defense has to rotate, or penetration and kickouts.
Yeah, but they weren't doing any of that.
That's my point.
And this is against Miami.
That's
this is against there's another who else ran his Toronto at times.
They don't have the personnel.
Well, it's not even just personnel. You can beat it with the personnel they have. They just, I don't know if they've ever, I'm sure they practice against the zone or whatnot, but for whatever reason, the zone befuddles them. They don't get 2 feet in the paint, and they stopped doing that in the third quarter. They stopped going to the paint when they were doing that in the first half, and they settled for the 3-point shot in the third quarter, going 1-10 from 3 in the third quarter. They turned the ball over 8 times, and how many live ball turnovers did they have in that third quarter where the Kings didn't even have to, this is easy. We'll just get out on the break again. 28 at the fast break points. So in that third quarter, they give up 8 fast break points. They get outscored in the paint 22-14. And then another thing that was trending in the wrong direction at the end of the first half was that the Kings started getting to the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
They're 11-12 at the half. Well, in the second half alone, they go 19-20. They're the second best free throw shooting team in the league.
How?
They hit their free throws. And on the flip side, the Warriors don't get to the free throw line because they don't get 2 feet in the paint. They don't drive with aggressiveness, and with the zone, they just became hesitant.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating.
Well, and I would also add to that that Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray They're elite defenders. Like, I thought Keegan did a great job using his. What's that?
Say, Keon Ellis could play.
Yeah, that's
why Mike Brown got fired, because he wasn't playing Keon Ellis.
No, he absolutely can. But, like, their length and their tenaciousness out on the perimeter and their ability to move laterally was excellent yesterday. And I thought they did a great job as a team, rotating and sending over that second and third blitzer. And even though I thought the ball hopped much better than I anticipated for the most part for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you, like, the Kings are just a more athletic, faster, better team right now. And then your point about free throws. How many times did Malik Monk get the ball to the block on a drive penetration where either he pump fakes and either goes up or kicks out? How many times did De'Aaron Fox do that, whether it was in transition or in the half court? How many times did a variety of guys, like, and this guy, DeRozan, get all the way to the lane, pump fake, guy leaves their feet, and now he's going to the free throw line. I'm watching Andrew Wiggins, and I thought Andrew had a good game yesterday. But Andrew, I look at someone like DeRozan and his ability to know that he needs to get to the midi and get to the mid-range.
Well, that's his whole game. That's been his whole game his entire career.
That's the guy. Jumper. If I'm Andrew Wiggins, so, I'd be looking at him as I'm starting to get older.
But Wiggins was good.
Wiggins was good yesterday.
He had, I think, a career-high tie game. Look at this, season high in 5 three-pointers last night.
But Bonte, he doesn't jump stop in the lane, so he does a lot of these runners.
At times, he does.
And DeRozan's whole game is, I'm jump stopping in the lane, I'm going to pump fake, you're going to leave your feet, I'm going to go to the free throw line. And it stops the momentum, it gives their defense a chance to set itself up. I mean...
Well, he had 24 of his 32 in the second half. DeRozan, I thought,
he was excellent in that second half.
Where he said, just give me the ball,
end of the third
right game. On my back, and let's roll. And he was 9 of 12 in the second half from the floor, 24 points in all. And you could see, okay, when De'Aaron Fox is not rolling, mm-hmm. who is not rolling, I got another guy who could go out there and get a bucket. Malik Monk is so damn fast, and he's so damn good. I love his game. But Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan, where Sabonis is sprinting from inline to inline. He's... So I got to give Sabonis credit, man. This guy's flipped his body. Not necessarily flipped his body, but he doesn't look as stiff when I'm watching him. He's moving around very fluidly, and he's moving around. And I'm like, okay, let's go. I see you, Sabonis, and he's getting the ball. When he gets the ball to the post, he would have to see where he had the ball down by his mm-hmm. knees, and he would take so long to rise up and get the ball up above the rim. Now when he's in the post, he's getting the ball, and he's going right up with it. He's not waiting around for the defense to set. He's being very decisive in what he does. So right now, Sabonis is balling. Doug Kersey has these guys. But when you mention the Kings are just more athletic than them,
they are.
We can say that about every single team in the league right now. The Miami Heat are more athletic than the Warriors. The Toronto Raptors are more athletic than the Warriors. Tonight, when Chicago comes to town, and I'm not sure if Kobe White's going to play, but you know what? If they have Kobe White and Zach LaVine in the backcourt, guess what? That's a lot of athleticism. The Warriors, every single night, with the way their roster is constructed right now, with the old guys,
yeah, I know,
with the youngsters, and Kuminga not being here, every single night, they got OKC coming up. They have the Lakers coming up. You got Phoenix coming up. Utah, hell, they got some athleticism on that team. The Warriors are at a disadvantage athletically on most nights, but you can still win games, but you can't make it easy for the other team when you turn the damn ball over.
But it's not, look, the turnovers were horrible. Oh, 19?
Unforced turnovers, 19 turnovers. Yeah, you had 7 at the half.
But I think the what's worse than the turnovers, because the turnovers are bad. It's the rebounds where a guy catches it at the free throw line on one end and just dribbles past 6 or 7 guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ball control. I'm looking at
De'Aaron
the turnovers
Fox
here.
Flew by five different guys multiple times.
No, I hear that.
On just rebounds. It's all of that. It's the transition game. That's where the athleticism.
Yeah,
really.
No, but last night though, when you have the live ball turnovers, you're turning it over at the 3-point line,
yes,
and they're going into 3-on-1 situation all night long.
I thought the Kings' on-ball defense was tenacious.
28-0 when it comes to fast break points, and that's based off the live ball turnovers you're having when you're 35 feet away from the hoop. They're just throwing it right to guys, so they didn't keep their composure. They get outscored in the second half, by the way, 75-52. So to me, when we had that conversation yesterday about fans, you know, I'm resigned to it. We've already won the championships. I'm not cut from that cloth, man. There's a lot of season left. There's a chance of getting to this damn box. There's a chance of getting to the top six. But you're blowing it by having these unforced turnovers. The Warriors are beating themselves with this as they match their largest blown lead of the season. They did it against Brooklyn when Schroeder was there. And by the way, Dennis Schroeder, I'm not here to rip him. But have you seen enough in terms of he's a good player. He really is. He's been on 8 different teams. And I get Mike Dunleavy. It was a shrewd move to get somebody in place of De'Anthony Melton, another ball handler, a guy who could play point of attack defense. But last night was probably his low point with the Golden State Warriors. It doesn't look like a good fit.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry.
There was the play where it was Steve Kerr lost his mind on the kickball, you know, where they went.
Yeah.
And he just stopped running.
Stopped running.
And I'm like, what? I don't want to pick on him because I do like him. I do like him. But, boy, it hasn't worked at all, B. There's no one. But getting back to your thing.
It's been 18 games.
I'm super frustrated, right? I'm super frustrated for a variety of things. But, like, angry. I'm not angry. I'm more disappointed that I've come to accept this is where they're at.
No, I'm not accepting that. It's the same thing with the Giants.
Why?
It's the same thing when I said
but they are.
When I said what
this
I said
is what they are.
But when I said what I said about the Giants a couple years ago, when I said I'm not spending a dime on them because I can't accept being mediocre. I can't accept saying, you know what, our season's over in May. It is what it is. Let's go see some prospects.
But two of the top four players.
I can't roll like that.
But two of their top four players aren't playing.
I hear that.
I mean, they're playing a guy who's played like 4 games this year.
No, I feel you on that. But you control what you control. And you can control turnovers. You can control not reaching. You can control not settling for bad three-point shots. You can control all those things. And if you just go into the fourth quarter with, say, a 9-point lead, like the fact is, they had a 17-point lead at the half. It is pretty hard to blow a 17-point lead in one quarter.
Well,
quarter of ball.
But
that is hard. So I'm sorry. As long as I got Stephen Curry, and by the way, I'm never trading Stephen Curry. I don't know what the hell has been going on around the station where people are talking about trading Stephen Curry. I hear hosts talk about, are you a damn dummy? No, you don't trade this guy. You see the open shots he's creating for other people. He had a double-double yesterday. Come on. Get this guy a little bit of help here. So the deadline's going to be fascinating to see it. The Warriors are working. And I think they're trying to figure out what direction do we go in. But damn, I'm sorry. Losing that game, especially against Sacramento. That's the other thing. It's the Sacramento Kings who have been our little brother for so long. Now, guess what? They're laughing, light and beam, saying, we beat you 5 straight times,
Warrior
fans.
They're a better team.
I'm not resigning to that,
man.
I'm not resigning to that. They had a 17-point lead. I'm going to feel the way I feel. I'm not resigning to the fact that you have a 17-point lead. You're playing the right way. They make over 23s. They drop over 30 assists. And yet the unforced turnovers and the fouling has got to stop. So I'm going to be frustrated about a tough loss like that. I'm
going to
be frustrated.
But like,
and so,
I'm watching the first half. And the Warriors were playing good. I thought they were playing inspired basketball.
Half.
No one's guarding GP2. Like, ever. So it's basically 4-on-5 defense at all times, right?
Yep.
It's, they're never going to guard him. They're just not. And I like the guy. I do. I like the guy. But if you just watch how they're defending Steph Curry, there are 5 sets of eyeballs staring at him the entire time.
No doubt.
And basically, I mean, the book is out. Hey, look, buddy, we dare you to go for 25 tonight. Hey, GP2, we dare you to hit a couple of threes. Wiggins, you can get all the points you want. It's not going to matter. We are not letting 30 beat
us. Which
is
smart.
It is smart.
Teams should be doing this.
And look, this goes back to the eyeballs, analytics, manalytics. Bonte, you've been on this. I just did a little dive. And the numbers would tell you, the numbers
yeah.
would say, Buddy and Claire having comparable seasons, right? Just watch the games. This is why you got to watch the games. They don't honor Buddy the way they honored Clay.
Yep.
Just they don't. They just you have to watch the games. The way teams sag off of Buddy, the way they defended Clay, the way they have to honor him, the way that the teams have to rotate because they are afraid that he's going to actually do something. Teams are looking, and I'm not trying to rip Buddy, but they're looking at him. They're like, yeah, we dare you to go off.
Well, you know what's funny?
So the numbers might look the same, but the eyeball tells you a totally different story.
And it's a different situation in Dallas with Luka, Kyrie,
no doubt.
The style of play.
But I'm
they
just
have.
Saying, like, the
they
eyeballs.
No doubt. They play at a slower pace down in Dallas. They're a half-court team more so. They don't get out and run where the Warriors want to get up and down, up and down, up and down. But I mean, good Lord, man. Buddy, here's the funny part. When Buddy scores 18-plus, the Warriors are 10-0. He was stuck on that 17. Stuck on that 17. And he actually had a decent game, man. I thought it was encouraging. And hopefully it's a step in the right direction
that shot
for him.
Before the end of the quarter was awesome.
But you know what else is adding to the frustration? And I'll bring it up on the other side.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.